You say it was watched carefully by the American public. I know I wasn't the only one who was riveted that day. And it, you're right, it went on for hours. And I couldn't tear myself away from the TV set watching it because it was just, I thought, boy, this is the best debate, the best experience I've ever watched the House go through. Mm-hmm. And but there have to have been others. And what other ones do you think of where the House really rose to the occasion?
Well, I think there were, when I was in Congress, there were a number of votes that were early on. I was elected to Congress just after the Civil Rights Act of 1964 was passed. Bob was present as a member then. But in the early 60s, we passed the Voting Rights Act. We passed acts that established programs for Medicare. We enacted legislation that protects the environment and a whole host of bills and acts that I think are part of the basic law of the United States today. Once in a while, you have a feeling that you're living through an historic moment. I remember one time when Carl Albert was Speaker, and a member from my state, Republican member from my state, said, Spiro Agnew, the Vice President, is in the Speaker's office offering to resign the Vice Presidency. And I thought to myself, this is an historic moment. There had never been a resignation of a Vice President before. And so suddenly you realize that you're not just serving as a member of Congress, but you're a part of a process, a stream of history, which takes you back to the earliest days of the Republic and a whole series of changes and developments that make the country what it is today. And those are sobering moments. The impeachment procedures against President Nixon. I stoutly refused, as a member, to say how I was going to vote on the impeachment resolution. Maybe overly lawyerly-like, I decided, well, this is an issue. It's going to come to the House, and I have to hear the evidence. I can't prejudge this thing. That's wrong. It's like convicting. Of course, impeachment is not conviction. The trial is in the Senate, and it didn't come to that because President Nixon resigned. But you know, this is prejudging an issue before the jury, before the prosecutor has filed an indictment. And so I kept that up to the last minute. I voted, one of the toughest votes in terms of my political life, was I voted to seat Adam Clayton Powell. Adam Clayton Powell was a member from New York, and in some quarters, somewhat a disreputable member, very, very brilliant, bright, quick as he could be, and chairman of the Education and Labor Committee in the House. And he was accused of various violations of the rules, and an effort was made not to seat him. Now, the Constitution provides that if two-thirds of the House votes, it can expel a member. And the House's judgment on that is without review. It's absolute. You don't have to have a reason or a trial. The protection is that two-thirds of the members have to vote, which almost always means it's bipartisan. Well, anyway, decided that to exclude him from membership by a majority vote was not constitutional. We had to seat him. He had a valid election certificate from New York. The next day, we could turn around with a two-thirds vote and expel him if the House wished to do that. Anyway, I voted against the resolution not to seat him. And my district in Eastern Washington exploded. I felt I had to go home and explain this. I was being denounced as supportive of a member whose ethical conduct was alleged to be totally, and people were writing letters to the paper. What in the world is he thinking about? What's he doing back there voting to seat Adam Clayton Powell? Well, I patiently tried to explain the constitutional provisions of the, and I had some difficulty doing it in the heat of the moment. And then I was very, very grateful to a Republican lawyer in Spokane who was a member of a very prominent law firm who wrote a letter to the newspaper, which the newspaper put in a very prominent place. And it said that I had, like many people in this district, felt absolutely disgusted with Tom Foley's vote not to, to seat, rather, Adam Clayton Powell. Anyway, I reviewed his constitutional arguments, and I decided he's absolutely correct, and that he was following his oath of office to obey the Constitution. And I intend to offer a resolution in the Spokane Bar Association commending him. And it suddenly stopped the debate. And a year later, in Powell versus McCormick, the Supreme Court came to the conclusion and ruled, as we have said, that you have to have a two-thirds vote. But that was a narrow miss for me, because I was about to be ridden out of town on the rail, except for the honor of it.